So this is Amelia, Andrew, Emma, Keenan, and Zach, and we're having a mini Socratic dialogue or just conversation pertaining to mental health and youth with the information generated after our interviews that we had with the panelists.
So something in our interview that they brought up was that they were surprised at the reaction they had when conducting surveys in schools at how readily people spoke about their mental health issues and anxiety in particular. And it reminded us of a survey we conducted at Bowman about racism and how ready people were to talk about their experiences with that. And I think it just kind of further supports this theme we're seeing, where if you give students resources or a means of voicing their concerns, especially when it can be anonymously and not with direct implications, they will do so and readily and want to be able to speak on it.
I think that kind of like that results from usually the people that are straying away from this conversations are the ones that would be kind of like their power would be kind of taken away, or their it would be compromised, so it's uncomfortable for them. But I don't think the people that, you know, are being affected, you know, greatly by it are ever gonna, you know, stray away from trying to change it.
Yeah, I definitely think this is a really important issue, especially in rural environments where your resources might not be as big, because if you're in a city, if you need someone to talk to, it doesn't necessarily need to be someone at your school. However, speaking from experience, when you're in a rural community, the school could be the only place where you can get help. And if teachers or counselors, or even if the school doesn't have a counselor, because mine didn't, like, if there's no one there equipped to help you or to listen to you, then like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, no, for sure.
I would just like to bring it back to what Amelia said about how if they're going to be uncomfortable losing this sense of power, but if being uncomfortable and getting out of your comfort zone is a way of learning and it paves the way for learning, then the people who are supposed to be teaching us and teaching us these new things aren't comfortable learning a new way of life. That's going to reflect onto the students.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
I don't necessarily also think that all these teachers are going to be uncomfortable about these things, because there's like every school has those teachers who want to help and they want to be there. They just need to be equipped to help. They need to have support from their boards and higher ups.
Well, that we have that at Aiden Bowman with Collective Voice and Seed, where we Seed has the website and Collective Voice has like all these different ways where they've been given the resources to make their voices heard, and it's made an impact and changed not only the lives of the students who have been in those programs, but also the lives of people who are reading the articles or listening to the shows.
This is something that's a lot harder in rural communities, where like your class size is 16 people, 17 people. How can you devote the resources to a program that only four or five people are going to do or join? It's just not feasible.
Right. Because if, you know, if there's a smaller demographic of people, chances are that, you know, have someone having anxiety is, there's a lot, it's likely that the community, if there was one for them, would be very small.
I think also, this isn't necessarily along the exact same lines, but as much as teachers, I think, should be educated on these topics and have the means to create dialogue, we have to have a system that doesn't require teachers to do jobs that they're not qualified to do. So teachers aren't psychologists, they're not psychiatrists, and asking them to act as so, or even having them in positions where they're supposed to act as so, is almost more inappropriate, I think. So I think it has a lot to do with integrating the proper professionals in a school setting and having access to that. And I know that there are programs like that within the city, because I've learned about it on my own, where you can have psychiatrists come in and you can call psychiatrists if you're a student and have them actually visit you. But I know that access is not even close to the same in rural areas. So kind of deciding how we can help with that.
Even if it's something as easy as just having a counselor, that their job is sure to guide you in terms of post-secondary stuff and what you want to do, but also to be there for you and to be that ear if you need it. And these counselors, they need that training, because right now they don't have it.
It's lacking.
And like going kind of off of that, people often mistake guidance counselors and counselors as the same thing when they might have similar training in areas, but not in all the same areas. Mm-hmm. And that makes it, if it's already difficult to find a counselor who deals with like mental health issues in the city, it's already hard enough to find that. So in rural communities, it's going to be even harder, because even if they can end up finding a guidance counselor, there's even more training that they have to do to be able to deal with mental health issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And every community is unique, because one of the big things with mental health issues in rural communities is just that there's nothing to do. Like,
yeah.
Especially here, we have all these extracurriculars, and we have all these different things we can do in the city, all these programs and stuff, mm-hmm. and sports we can play, and it's just not feasible for rural communities to have all this, and most of the time, there's just nothing for these students to do, so they...
Like, a lot of what we consider in the city as, like, necessity is luxury in rural areas.
We take it for granted.
Yeah. So I think although this is a very big issue that requires a lot of time and dedication to tackle, and, of course, resources and money, a lot of the smaller actions that are very easily done will make a large impact. So this is something Andrew said earlier, that just having someone who will listen to you, and that anybody is capable of listening. Like, you don't need qualifications to have empathy and to hear your students as humans first and foremost. So yeah, just that everybody, not even in just the education system, if they could prioritize listening to one another, it could make quite the difference.